In our scripture reading, we had read from 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want you to take notice of verse 17 again. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, it's getting kind of hard to avoid the problems in this country. Especially when we have problems with our leaders. Everyone seems to know the sins committed by some of our recent presidents, and each has his own opinion about the matter, but the fact remains there's problems. There's difficulties. And knowing that a leader has sinned then creates difficulties for a Christian. You know, in Romans chapter 13, Paul talks about the need for each of us to show respect for authority. In Romans 13, and starting in verse 1, it says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God for you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Every soul is to be subject to the governing authorities. There's not an exception there. The authorities are called God's ministers and are God's servants three times in this passage. They're there because God place them there. And they rule by God's decree. And as Christians, we are obligated to pay our taxes. Though we moan and groan at times, I know about it, but we are obligated to pay those taxes. And to give proper honor. In fact, in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 5, it says, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection. Not only because of wrath, not only because we could get in trouble by the government, but also for conscience sake, because we know that this is the right thing to do. And as I mentioned, there's no escape clause. I think that was brought up in class a couple weeks ago. You know, you look at 1 Peter 2, you go back at Romans 13, do you see some qualifier that states it's okay to withhold honor from dishonorable leaders? Is there some indication that you do not have to give respect to a disrespectful leader? Many have a hard time believing there's ever been a time or a place where righteous leaders have been in such scarce supply. But if you look at world history, it's hard to find a righteous leader. Most of the time, most countries have had to deal with unrighteous people. And when we look at the time when this was written, Rome ruled the world in which Paul lived. It began as a republic, much like our country. But by the first century, it was ruled by dictators who called themselves emperors. There were some who were noblemen, but very few of those Roman emperors served as an example of good behavior. Let's just take an example of Claudius. Claudius ruled from AD 41 to 54. This is during the time when Paul wrote these letters, many of his letters. Historically, he was known to be an able and efficient administrator. His government worked well. But we have to also remember that it was Claudius who issued an order expelling all Jews from Rome. In Acts chapter 18, take a look at that. Acts chapter 18 and verse 2. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to leave Rome, and he came to them. Now these two, Aquila and Priscilla, a Christian couple, who happened to be of Jewish ancestry, had to move to Corinth, where Paul found them on their second journey, just because Claudius got tired of having Jews in his capital. Now, to just also get an idea of what Claudius was like, you know, Claudius assumed the throne after murdering his nephew, Caligula. Caligula was an insane man. The guy who was before Claudius was insane, but he was ruling the Roman Empire. And his uncle assassinated him and then took the throne. Caligula ruled from AD 37 to 41. You know, we think we have problems sometimes with people that don't know what's going on. Can you imagine being run by a country that the guy is everybody knows is insane? And like Caligula, you know, Claudius' reign didn't end very nicely either, because he also was killed. So the next guy could assume the throne. At least we have elections. We haven't got to murdering each one to get to the next one. And yet, it's about these ruling men that Paul said, honor the king. Oh, and then there was Nero. You know, you remember that guy, the fiddler? Or at least in legend, it's that way. He was a well-known hater of Christians. He ruled from 54 to 68. He's the one who murdered Claudius. Followers of the way never enjoyed popularity among the Romans anyway. After all, they were saying that the gods were no gods. So from a Roman point of view, Christians were atheists. But even worse, you know, these followers of the way refused to worship the emperor as a god. And that's what the emperors have basically gotten down to the point. They demanded to be seen as gods or demigods and demanded worship. Worship of them was loyalty to the country. And so therefore, all these Christians were questioned as about how loyal were they really to Rome. So they refused to worship the emperor. But see, Nero, where the other ones kind of grumbled about it, Nero raised persecution of Christians to new heights of evil. Nero at times set Christians on fire. He had them torn to pieces by wild animals in an arena where people watch a spectator sport. Now, it was to Nero that when Paul said he had needed a review of his case when he was in Palestine and the Jews were trying to kill him, and he said, I appeal to Caesar, Take a look at Acts 25. Keep in mind, that was to Nero he was appealing. Acts 25 and verse 10. So Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Think about the risk that Paul was taking. Nero didn't like Christians. And yet Paul's appealing to Caesar. And it's not too many years later that a large part of Rome, the poor district, burnt to the ground. And Nero decided to blame it on Christians. And that led to a large persecution of Christians throughout the Roman Empire. And yet Paul and Peter wrote while living under Nero, honor the king. And there's many others we could name, like for instance, Domitian. He reigned near the end of the first century. He managed to surpass Nero in persecution of Christians. Other rulers had committed atrocities against Christians throughout the ages. And the reason basically behind it is they fear you and I. They fear the people who obey God because they put God over men. Take a look at Acts chapter 5. In verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. Have you ever wondered why communist China has such a hard time with Christianity and refuses as best it can to let it spread into their borders? They've been letting go little by little. Now can at least own a Bible near now. You can meet as long as you keep the numbers down under 10. But why do they have such a hard time with Christianity of all religions? And it's because they realize that Christianity says there's a greater power than them. It's probably the same thing behind what's the problem that the leader of North Korea has. The idea that somebody's greater just fills them with fear. See, these are men who believe themselves to be not accountable to any power, that they are the greatest power here on earth. At least in their region. And with Domitian, that was under his reign that John ended up in exile. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, whether Domitian had any direct cause of this or just because it happened to be under his domain, but still John ended up in exile simply for standing up and preaching the truth. Now, Christians in their countries found they basically had two choices. You obey the rulers and live, or you obey God and likely die. And yet they told us to honor the king. See, we live in a country where we, at least in theory, have say what who rules us. We vote on many issues. We vote on the leaders. Our laws allow us to speak freely on anything we desire. Well, it used to, at least. That's started to be taken away. Unfortunately, there is no guarantee that those elected have the same high moral standards as we hold. In fact, likely it's not going to happen. Nevertheless, Paul's words in Romans 13 and Peter's words in 1 Peter 2 remain the same. We must honor the king. Yes, we should strive to elect men who will stand for biblical principles. But I think it was pointed out in class today, it's getting kind of hard to find that in all cases. And yes, we should strive to persuade others to live by the Bible as well. That's what we are here for. But once they are elected, we should never forget our responsibility to give honor to those who rule over us. Now, that we got to remember that honor doesn't mean unswerving obedience. We honor and obey God above all others. But even while we think the ones who are in control are crazy, their laws don't make sense, they're making life miserable, we still give them honor. And we pray that they rule wisely. Take a look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and starting at verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. That is God's desire. We want a place where we can be able to teach and encourage others to live righteously. We pray that our leaders make those decisions and allow us to continue, knowing that most of the time they're not Christians. Most of the time they don't live righteous lives. Most of the time they don't follow God's laws. But it doesn't change who we are. And we shouldn't let the world influence us. Rather, we're here to influence the world. And I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like to pray as your brother on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.